Father, we come before you this morning, giving you all the honor, glory, and praise. We praise you continually for your mercy, your grace, your kindness, your goodness, your love, your joy, your long-suffering, your patience, for your leading and guiding us by your Spirit, O Father God, wisdom and knowledge. We thank you, we praise you for your compassion. And Lord, we praise you for your conviction and your correction. I praise you. Your praise will continually be in our mouth. Lord, we worship you with a heart of worship, a life of worship for your holiness, your righteousness, and your love for us. So, Lord, we come before you this morning. Just want to say thank you for waking us up another day. For those of us who are in Christ, you woke us up another day walking in the light. Lord, all of us was in the dark at one time, but Lord, you reached down and brought us out of darkness to your marvelous light. So Lord, we're eternally thankful for you bringing us out of the darkness. Lord, I pray, Father God, for our country. I pray for the nation of Israel, for Haiti, Africa, and all the nations of the world, peace, unity, and protection. Lord, a special prayer for those missionaries, oh Father God, who have been held captive in Haiti. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you'll send them home and send them home safe and sound. And Lord, I pray for those who are holding them captives also, that you'll move upon their hearts, that they will turn from their wicked ways, oh Father God. I thank you for this nation that we live in, the greatest nation in the world, for all the blessings and provisions that you blessed us with, the freedoms. But Lord, I have to ask for forgiveness of how this nation has turned our backs on you as a nation. Lord, we need revival, not man-made revival, but we need a revival from heaven, that you will pour out your spirit upon this nation, that we will turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. Lord, we need a healing in this land. Lord, I pray for our children. I commit our children unto you, Lord. Set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life. They would not get caught in the snares and the traps of the enemy. Lord, I pray for those who are traveling today, traveling mercy. Those who are homeless and hungry, that you provide for them. The hopeless, helpless, and the hurting, Lord, be with them today also. Comfort those who are grieving over the death of a family member or loved one. Lord, I pray, Father God, for those who are contemplating suicide, that you will intervene, especially with our military, Lord. Intervene today and stop them. Let them know that they're loved, they're valued, and that they have purpose. Lord, I pray, Father God, that our ears will be open to the word that you have for us today. Let it be no distractions, oh Father God. And Lord, that we will come to you on our bended knee, oh Father God, humbly before you. Let us not walk out the way we walked in. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will prepare hearts today who don't know you, have not surrendered their life to you, that this will be the day, the greatest day of their life, that they will come, oh Father God, and surrender their life to you today, Lord, that they will know that they know that they know that when they leave here, they will be with you for eternity. So, Lord, I just want to say thank you, and I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis 6. What I want to speak about today is are you really real? Are you real or are you just pretending? Are you in or are you out? The Bible says in the last day there'll be a great falling away. The Bible says in the last day many hearts will wax cold. The Bible says in the last day many are called but few are chosen. The Bible says that there's a narrow way and a broad way. And it says many will be on that broad way, being deceived, thinking they're on their way to heaven, thinking they're on their way to eternal life with Jesus Christ. But it's a deception. They're deceived. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that you are in the righteousness of Christ and on your way to heaven and you're not. Because the Bible says in the last day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we have healed the sick. We cast out demons. We've done many miracles. Lord, I'm ready to enter into your rest. I'm ready to enter into heaven to be with you for eternity. And he'll say, no, no. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. And once he says that to you, there's no second chances. Not when you come to that. Now, there's second chances now. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and on and on for those of us who are here now. But if you get to a place where Jesus tells you, depart from me, I never knew you, there's no coming back from that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, it used to be a time in my life when I'd said, well, you know, because I didn't believe in Christ, I didn't believe in God, I didn't want to have nothing to do with. And I said, well, I'm going to hell and I'm going to party with all my buddies. You know, the way that we was living. But I didn't realize what hell entailed. The lake of fire, being tormented. Ain't going to be no partying. It's going to be regret for eternity. There's going to be tormentation for eternity. And I don't want none of you to go there. I don't even want my worst enemy to go there. So what I'm going to tell you today is, and I want you to think about what I'm saying and ask yourself, examine yourself, where am I? Where am I in Christ? Am I in Christ, period? Or am I pretending? I pretended. I did. I pretended. And thank God that I came into my right mind. Thank God I came to a place where, and I'm not perfect by no means. I still have struggles. I still have trials in my life. But I'm not pretending anymore. And I know some of you are not pretending, but I'm praying that none of you are pretending. Because once again, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I want to talk about something that, and you've heard the term, I've said it many, many times, all in. When I used to be a gambler, and I used to play poker. And so whenever I thought I had a winning hand, if I thought I had a winning hand against all of the other people who were playing, I would take all of my money and push it in the middle of the pot and say, I'm all in. I don't have nothing left. I don't have nothing left. I'm all in. I'm putting everything that I have in the pot because I'm thinking that I have a winning hand. But once again, this was in the world. This was not about the kingdom. But I want to talk to you today about the kingdom all in. Are you all in the kingdom of God? Or are you straddling the fence? You might be 50% in. You might be 75% in. You might be 99.999% in. But God says he wants you to be all in. He wants everything from you. Everything. Every part of you. We have to be all in, church, especially in the times that we're in now. Let me tell you something. We're living in a perilous time right now. And God wants to preserve his own. God wants to preserve his own. And if you are in Christ, you are his own. But we have to do our part and be all in and not be playing about it. See, you can fool me some of the time. You know, everybody else, but you can't fool God. That's one thing. You can't fool God because when you stand before him, we're going to have to give an account. And he knows everything. Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know that he was hiding from him. When he used to have a close, intimate relationship with him, where he would walk in the cool of the garden in the daytime with God and commune with him. Now, all of a sudden, he's hiding from him. Maybe at one point in your life, you was walking with God. You was on fire for the Lord. But now things have cooled off a little bit. Now things that you used to think was very, very important and things to serve God, now you're kind of backing up a little bit off of it. And now you're not where you was, or you're not where you want to be. I'm going to give you some examples this morning about being all in. There's many examples of men and women of God just all in. And they started out just like we did, with issues, with problems, struggles. But one thing they did was they didn't pretend. Genesis 6 and 5. We're talking about Abraham. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man. No, I'm sorry. Not Abraham. Noah. We're going before Abraham. We're going to Noah first. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually. Sound like the day, don't it? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He says, I am sorry that I even created man now because of all the wickedness and the stuff that I'm seeing is going on. I didn't create them to act like this. I didn't create them, you know, for them to have this hatred and this wickedness and all this lawlessness and all this stuff that's going on. I didn't create them for that. But however, here it is. And the Lord says, I will destroy man whom I have created. It says, from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Not only was he upset with man, he was upset with everything. God was ticked off. He says, I'm going to get rid of everything. And it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man out of all creation of God found faith. He found him. He found grace in the eyes of God. And it talks about these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. He wasn't perfect, but what that means, he was mature. Nobody is perfect in the flesh. Let me say that again. I don't care who you are, how much church you've been going, how much Bible you've been reading, how many hours you've been on your knees, how much you done gave to the poor or anything else. You are not perfect, and you're not going to be perfect as long as we're on this earth. We all have struggles and issues and different things that we go through. And it says that these are the generation of Noah. He was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God just like Adam. He walked with God. Now, we all know about the story of Noah and the ark. Just in case one person in here might not know it, let me tell you. God says, I'm going to destroy everything. And everything, man, woman, child, and beast. Everything that I created, I'm a destroy. But Noah. But this one man. He told Noah, he says, I want you to go and I want you to build this structure that I'm telling you to build. Well, what is it, Lord? Don't care what it is. You just do what I tell you to do. 120 years, Noah built this ark. Because God said he's going to destroy all mankind. Now, it had not rained upon the earth at all before this. Didn't make no sense to Noah, but guess what? Noah was all in. He says, Lord, I don't understand it. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be convenient, but however, Lord, I'm all in. And then verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Read this again. Thus did Noah according to all. He was all in that God commanded him, so he did. Once again, it took him 120 years. But he was all in. He was all. And we all know the result. When the rain started coming, they laughed at him. They called him crazy. They called him stupid. Come on and party with us, Noah. Come on to the club. Come on, let's tweak it a little bit. Yes, yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all might have been in the club last night tweaking. I don't know. What is it? Twerking. Backed up. All right. How y'all know that? You Googled it. You Googled it. Saw it online. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Some of y'all might have been out there. Dennis? Where's Don Foote? Did he leave? No, Don Foote. Where's he at? Oh, he in the bathroom? Oh, he's teaching. Oh, never mind then. All right, here we go. Anyway, it started raining. And all the people that ostracized him, all the people that talked about him, all the people that told him he was crazy, all of a sudden the water started open, started coming, the floodgates started coming down, and water was coming out, and it came to their ankles. You know, and they said, oh, this is nice. And they got to playing around in the water, kicking the water. Then it got up to their knees. They said, oh, this is a little bit more here. But we're still able to party a little bit. We're still able to party a little bit. Then it got up to their waist. They said, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. This is getting a little something else right here. And so they all started wading in the water, going toward the ark. Because they saw this big old structure that all the animals, two of each kind, had gotten to the ark. They knew that the only safety they had when it got up to their chest. So they're at the ark now. But you know what? God had shut the door because it was too late. Do you hear what I'm saying? It was too late. And so as the water started rising to the chest, to the top of the chin, they're beating on the ark. They're beating on the ark and they're screaming and hollering, let us in! Let us in! Save us! God said, I gave you plenty of chances. I gave you 120 years. And you chose not to have faith in me. You chose not to serve me. You chose your faith. Hear me, church. You chose your own faith. I gave you plenty of time to come to me. But yet you chose your faith. Don't blame me now. Don't get mad at me now. Because I gave you plenty of time. So as the water started going up, they beating on the door. They screaming and they hollering for their lives. But Noah and his family was in the ark to be saved. You hear what I'm saying? To be saved from destruction, from dying and going to hell. Noah was all in. Don't you say? Wouldn't you say Noah was all in? He was all in. Now let's go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And this is Abram. Now notice here, after God destroyed all of the people and everything else, he says, I'm going to give you a second chance. So Noah and his family, they were spared. And so they started populating the earth again. And so we have Abram. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and to a land which I will show thee. Well, wait a minute. Abram, let me tell you something. He was living good. His family was wealthy, very wealthy. He was doing real good. But God says, let me tell you something. I want you to leave that life, that lap of luxury. I want you to leave all the comforts. I want you to leave your family and all of those who are worshiping idols. Because see where he come from, it was an idolatrous country. And he was raised like that. He was raised in that environment. But God spoke to him and he heard God and he says, I want you to get out of there. And he says, and I will show you something. He said, your eye has not seen, your ears not heard, has not moved upon your heart what I have for you if you obey me. Let's see what he did. He says, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse thee that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What do you think Abraham did? Oh, well, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm good. No, let me tell you what he did. It says that so Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him. So Abraham listened to the Lord and he obeyed. You think he was all in? He left everything that he had known. All of his wealth, all of his cousins, uncles, aunts, and friends that grew up, went to school, all that. He left all of that because God told him to get out of there. He was all in, you see. And they called him Abram. Abram means father. Didn't have not one child. God said, I'm going to make you a many nations, father of many nations. Didn't have one child. Then he said, I'm going to make your name Abraham, father of many nations. And y'all know the story. Abraham and Sarah, his wife, didn't have children all the way up until she was 90 and he was 100. But yet he still obeyed God. Why? Because he was all in. He was all in. Didn't understand it. People teased him. Your name's Abram or Abraham and you ain't got not one kid? Do you have a pet? You know how some people are. And look what happened. God says you'll have many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And look, here we are now with the descendants of Abraham. Oh, because he was all in. Because he was all in, church. Now, let's go. Now, I know y'all, some of y'all saying, I can see it in your face. Pastor, you talking about all these men. What about the women? Turn to the book of Esther. Turn to the book of Esther. Page 584 in my Bible. The book of Esther, chapter 4. And just in case somebody might not know who Esther is. Esther was a Jewish young lady. But she was in a place of idolatry, of wickedness and everything else. And the king, he got rid of his wife because she didn't do what he asked her to do. He had asked her to come out and to show her off in front of all of his friends and all of the other kings and different things. She said, I'm not going to do that. So he banished her. He told her, not only are you not going to be my queen, you can't even live in the country. Flee. So he said, I need to get me a new queen. I need to get a new queen. So he told his people, he says, get all the beautiful young virgins. The beautiful young virgins. And I will look them over and I will pick my new queen. Now, remember, she's of Jewish heritage. And so for years, they prepared her to meet the king. And they brought all of these other young, beautiful women from all around the world. And he was looking over them, all of them. He said, yeah, she's good looking. OK, she's a cutie. Mm-hmm. But when Esther walked in the room, he said, man. She's fine. This one's fine here. So he said, you are the one that's going to be my queen now. And so there was a man named Haman, and he had a big head. You know, he was very, very prideful, and he wanted people to bow down to him. But Esther's uncle, Mordecai, he said, we only bow down to one, and his name is God. We don't bow down to no man. I don't care how big you are. I don't care what position you might have. We're not bowing down. So it made that tick Haman off. He said, I'm gonna hang him. Not only am I going to hang him, I'm going to have the king sign a decree that all of the Jewish people, everybody that's a part of his family and his race, is going to die. Can you imagine that? One man ticked him off and he said, everybody in his nation is going to die. And at this time here, they could not rescind what the king has said to do because Haman had tricked them. So Mordecai said, good to see you, man. Bring that baby, all right? All right, love you guys. Huh? Yeah, next time you come, bring the baby. Tell your mama I said hello. Love you too. All right. I told y'all we got a little issues up in there. But you know, they're family. They're family. But anyway, what was I at? Esther. So Mordecai told her what the king and Haman had done. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, you need to go talk to your husband. She says, I can't go talk to him unless he calls me. If he does not call me or summons me, he says, I cannot go to him. He said, because if somebody comes to him without him allowing them to come, that's a death sentence. That's a death sentence. John, tell them to go on outside or be quiet, one or two. Don't make me come out there. I tried to warn y'all, didn't I? So anyway, he said, you need to go talk to the queen, to the king. And so here we are. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, he told her, then shall their enlargement and the deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. I don't care if you're the queen. There has been a decree that all Jewish people die, including you, Miss Cutie, including you. That's a decree. That's the law. And the king cannot go back on his word. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You see, God had created her and had prepared her to put her in a position for such a time as this. What do you think she did? She went to the king. The king saw her because he loved her. He truly loved her. And he took a scepter and he put it out. That means that she was allowed to come talk. He says, what do you want, wifey? Said, I'd like to have a party in your honor and Haman. We'd like to have a feast with just you, me, and Haman. Okay. But it took a little while for her to do that. Okay. So they went and had the party and they ate and they had a good time. And so he says, now what do you want? She says, let us have another party. So they had the second party. And they said, what is it that you want, honey? I'll give you up until half of my kingdom. She said, sir, somebody has made a decree to kill all of my relatives, all of my race, including me. What? Oh, yeah. That law that you sign with this one here, you're going to have to kill me. He says, nope. And now, the night before this, Haman made a gallows to hang Mordecai, her uncle. He was going to hang him publicly. So the king said, He got up. He was so hurt, he had to leave out the room. Have you ever been so mad that you had to get up and walk out the room? You just had to get up and get out for a minute or two. So he did that. So Haman now, he's seeing what's going on, because he's thinking that he's going to, you know, get a reward. He's thinking that he's going to get a promotion. He's thinking that he's all of this because the queen just invited the king, him and her. Nobody else. So the king goes outside to think about this, to see what can happen, because once again, he cannot rescind the law, what he has signed. He cannot change it. Cannot change it. It has to go through. This woman that he loves. Now, this woman that he loves. So he comes back in, and Haman, he sees what's going on. So now he goes over to where Esther is sitting or lounging, because you know they lounge back then. And he's all, please, 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 Miss Esther, please, please. And the king comes in and sees him all over his woman. Oh, you are on my wife in my palace. Oh, come get him right now. Before he could say anything, they put a hood over his head and took him out and they hung him. And the king says, this is what I'm going to do for you because I cannot change the law. He said, but what I can do, I can make a law where your people can defend themselves. If anybody come to try to do you any harm, you defend yourself. Oh, you think she was all in? Because her life was at stake. Her life was at stake. But God put her in that position because he knew that day was going to come. But she was all in. She didn't know that, but she was all in. You see, when we're all in, God can use us for his glory. He's waiting for us to get all in. You see, you have no idea the blessings and the things that God has for each and every one of you if we're all in. So many times, God will stand back. He says, I want to bless you more than you want to be blessed. You have no idea what I want for you in your life if you're all in. Now, let's go to the book of John, John 12. Let's go to the New Testament, the New Covenant. John 12 and 23. John 12 and John chapter 12, verse 23. John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He says, unless except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. When you die, you all in. That's being all in when you give up your life. And that's what it says. It says, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? You know, I had a little issue with that for years. You know, he that loveth his life, he that loveth his life in the world, he that loveth his life in sin, he that loveth his life not being all in. Then it says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honors. What he's saying is, if you all in, you follow me. And if you follow me, you will be with me where I am. Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. So we will know that we know that we know that not if, but when we take our last breath here, if we follow Jesus, not just on Sunday, not just when we want something, not just when we're in trouble, but every day, all day, daily surrender, daily victory. As we surrender day after day after day, wake up, Lord, I'm surrendering all today. I'm all in today, Lord. I missed it yesterday, but today's a new day. Today's a new day, and I'm all in. And what I did yesterday, I'm not going to repeat that today. Let me say that over here. What I did yesterday, I'm not going to repeat that today. Now, I might do something else today, but it ain't going to be the same thing that I did yesterday because I know that ain't right. But see, and then after you get start walking with Christ for so long, as you start walking and maturing with him, you know, those decisions and choices that we make, we don't continue to make them over and over and over. Now, we will make bad choices and decisions, but they won't be habitual. They won't be something that we do day after day after day after day. You see? Because we're all in. We're all in. Now let's turn to Matthew 14. Yeah, we all over. All right. Matthew 14. We're starting verse 15. Matthew 14, starting to verse 15. And we all know this story here. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. And please send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals," or something to eat. But Jesus said to them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They don't need to go nowhere to get nothing to eat. And they said to him, "We have here but only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All we got is this little boy's lunch. That's all, you know, and we got 5,000 men, not including their wives and their children. How in the world, Lord, are we going to feed so many people? Are we going to provide for so many people with so little? Let me tell you something. Where did they get the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? There was a young man that was in the crowd, and this is what he had to eat. He gave it all to them. See, he didn't take a piece of fish and one loaves of bread and cut it off and put it in his pocket and hide it to keep back for myself. Self-preservation, you know. I know this man, Jesus, he's done a lot of things, but, you know, I got to look out for myself. I'm going to have a little stash. Anybody ever used to stash, had a stash? Yeah, some of y'all know whatever kind of stash y'all used to have back then. But, you know, had a little stash, you know, keep something a little back. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. This little boy didn't keep no stash. He was all in. He was all in. And let me tell you let's see what he did. And he says, bring them hither unto me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looking into heaven, and blessed and break and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Let me read that again, because we read that many, many times. Let me break this down to you. Let me camp out there for a minute. He said, you bring it to me. Don't give it to the disciples. Don't give it to their mamas and their daddies. Bring it to me. Bring everything that you have to me. And it says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down. He told them, I want y'all to sit down. It's too many of y'all right now, and I don't want y'all to be bum rushing. I want you to sit down in groups of 50. And he says, on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven. Looking up to his Father in heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Let me give you a little picture of this. They brought him everything that the little boy had. Everything. He took it. He looked up to heaven. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, now you go out and give it to those who are in need. You go out and give it to those in need. Do you see how that works? When we're all in, God can take, and you know, you might say, well, I don't have too much. He don't need too much. All he needs is just a little bit. He needs a little bit with you saying, Lord, take what I have and use it. Lord, I can't read that well. I don't have a car. Whatever it might be, I don't understand too well. But what I have, you take this, what I have, Lord, and you use it for your glory. I don't understand how you're going to use it. Because it's just a little bit. But you take this, Lord. And God says, I'll take it. I'll bless it. And I'll distribute it. But I'll give it to the disciples to distribute. And y'all know the story. The 5,000 plus, their mamas and daddies and children and everybody else, they all ate and were filled, and they had 12 baskets left. And let me tell you, when you research that and you take that back to the root, it wasn't they bite off a sandwich and put it in the thing. No. Everything was good. You see, 12 baskets left over, more than enough. We serve a God of more than enough. But you have to be all in. I got one more that was all in. Now turn to the book of John, John 19. I'm almost done with you. Maybe. Yes. John 19 and 30. 19 and 30. And we all know this account. Well, they took him. They took him. They beat him to where he did not look human. They spit on him. They poured out his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They lifted him high and stretched him wide on the cross. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Two of the greatest words in humankind. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He was all in. He was all in. He gave up the ghost. He died for you and for me. And look at him being all in. The result. Millions and millions and millions of Christians. Millions and millions and millions will be with him where he is once we leave here, because he was all in. Didn't have to be, but he did because he loved us. Jesus can take a little into a lot if and when we give it all to Jesus. All he wants is whatever you have. Like I say, some might not have hardly nothing. But what little do you have if we give it to him? He will multiply it. He will multiply it. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what God has for you. You'd be surprised to see God knows what's around our corner. He knows our tomorrows. As I said earlier, eyes not seen, ears not heard, has not moved upon the heart of man. For those who love him, the blessings that he have for you. But he's looking for a people to worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for a people that's real. That's real. Time for pretending is over, church. Time for pretending is over, church. Let me tell you something. Because the day of the Lord coming is real soon. He's coming soon, church. And like I said, you don't want to get caught out there. Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, Lord, I did all these good works. I went to church. I even came to the altar call. But are you all in? Have you given it all to him? Once again, not just Sunday, not just Tuesday at prayer meeting, not just Wednesday at Bible study, not just on Friday at the women's group or things and all that. No, every day, all day long. Every day, all day long. Now, I'm saying this to tell you, now, once again, you ain't got to be on your knees 24 hours a day. You don't have to be in your Bible 23 and a half hours a day. You ain't got to camp out in this church, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because that ain't going to make you a Christian. Just like you sit at McDonald's every day, all day long, ain't going to make you a hamburger. You can go there every day all you want, if you want to. You ain't going to be a hamburger. Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is to be all in. If you make a commitment, if you make a commitment to the local church, to the ministries of the church, we need to be all in. We need to be all in. And let me tell you something once again. He will take that little that you give him and he will multiply. And there'll be so many people that are blessed. So many people that are blessed. You know, I'm looking at two young men sitting back here now. You know, Derek and my brother sitting right next to him over here. You know, Derek, you know, he had been telling me, he said, I'm trying to get soldiers to come, Pastor. And he has been bringing soldiers. He's been bringing them. He got two sitting next to him over here now. Praise the Lord. And my brother over here, my brother sitting right next to him here, I'm just going to say this to you because, you know, I'm real with it. He's in the halfway house. For those of you who don't know what the halfway house is, you're just getting out of prison and you go to a house that you have to be to transition back into, you know, the world. This brother has been bringing them guys from the halfway house since he's been coming. The little, they have given God all. And look at how it is, it's grown, it's influenced. Oh, and I'm looking back here, Jeff Wings and Mark Pickle Warner. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You have no idea to see the two of y'all sit, because y'all was one time at there. Y'all was one time where they are. And I remember y'all used to have this section right here. And I'm glad you're back. Stay back. Get all in. Get all in. Praise the Lord. As I say all the time, there's people that y'all can minister to and witness to. They're not going to listen to this old man. They're going to say, oh, you old. And you know, but, you know, it's guys that have seen and been around and got high with y'all and done whatever y'all do, you know, and see the change in your life. They say, if God can change you, definitely can change me. Praise the Lord. And Rena, I'm so glad to see you, girl. You look good. You look good. And you're an overcomer, girl. I'm so proud of you, I don't know what to do. I'm so proud of you. Yes, you. Yes, I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm looking at you, young lady. This is your third week, right? Somebody get her a cookie. Huh? Have you been to church three weeks in a row? Two. Come next week, you get a cookie. Come get a cookie next week. But anyway, you know, as I look around the room and I see what God has done with so many lives, you know, John Gardner sitting back there. Boy, I'm so proud of him. I don't know what to do. You know, we prayed a many a Tuesday night for him. And he opens up our Tuesday night prayer meeting now. He's the one who opens it up for us. You know, and he's our sergeant of arms. He's the one and head of our van ministry. He's in charge of all that. I'm so proud of him. I don't know what to do. Dennis. I love me some Dennis. I love you, Dennis. Absolutely. And Dennis is going to be down here one day doing a special with his harmonica. He plays the harmonica. So when y'all see him, say, Dennis, when you going to play the harmonica? When you going to do a special? Yep. We're going to get you down here, Dennis. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who else can I pick on up here? Yeah. I like that hair. Praise the Lord. Yes. What color is that, green?
It's a bluish green, yeah.
Bluish green? Yes. Okay. I want you to give that color to Elder Paul. He can't put none on top, but he can put it on the sides. Praise the Lord. Put green on one side and blue on the other side. But anyway, church, did y'all understand what we talked about here today about being all in? Are you ready to be all in today from this day forward? Are you ready? Are you ready to be all in? And the first thing that you have to do to be all in is surrender your life to Jesus. You can't be all in hoping and wishing and trying. How many of us have hoped and wished and tried, and it's just a continual going around a circle and around a circle and around a circle and around a circle? You're not making no traction. You're not moving forward. But when you get all in, you take the effort away from it, and God will usher you through and give you everything that He has called you to do and everything He's called you to be. So if you're sitting out here this morning, you're saying, I want to be all in, Pastor. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? That's step number one, is having a personal relationship with Jesus. That's number one. That's number one. So if you're here today and you know that you know that you know that you don't have a real relationship, I'm going to ask you to get up and come. I'm going to ask you to get up. God bless you, my brother. All right. I'm going to ask you to get up and come. Don't be ashamed, because He was not ashamed of you. He wasn't ashamed of you. If you're here today and you know that you know that you know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, not know about Him, because demons know about Him. The demons and devil know about Him. But I'm talking about having a personal relationship. I'm talking about surrendering your life to Him today. And I don't care what you might have done or doing, He will no way cast you out. He always welcome you with open arms. Wherever you are in your life, He will always welcome you once we turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm giving my life to You today. I need You to help me keep from being sick and tired and being sick and tired. I've tried to do it my way and it don't work. So today, Lord, I'm pushing everything into You. Everything is Yours. My life and everything that I have, it belongs to You today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know God loves you so much. He loves you so much. And we do too. Yes, we do. Young man, is this your first time here? You had no idea that you was coming here. You was going to be all in today, did you? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you're here. What's your name, Scott?
Paul.
Paul? That's a good name. Apostle Paul. Okay. Paul. So Paul and both of y'all, you know, I know that you have given your life to Christ, but it's like the prodigal, as we all have been. You come to yourself and now you're back. You're coming back to the Father's house and He's welcoming you both. He's welcoming you both. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm not going to make you servants. I'm going to restore you to the sonship in which you always have been. You've always been a son of God. Always. You know, He has so much for y'all to do, man. So much. So I'm going to ask you, Paul, and I want you to come down here with me. I want you to kneel. And I want y'all to pray this prayer with me. Everybody, if you're sitting out here and you know that you should be here and you don't, and you didn't come up here for one reason or another, pray the prayer with me, because God will meet you in your seat. He'll meet you wherever you are. And pray this prayer with me and come to me afterwards and say, I prayed the prayer, Pastor. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This day, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sin. He rose again on that third day, and that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. I accept this free gift of salvation by faith, and I will serve you. I will be all in from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is pleased.